It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dave and Degenovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
Wanted to turn back to our story that, well, we call it the standout.
Now, time for the standout.
The standout.
Dave and Degenovic.
The mass shooting mentality. Oh, we've called it the mass shooting mentality because what I read in the American Psychological Association survey, a third of American adults stressed about the prospect of a mass shooting. They're avoiding certain places. Dave says he's not.
Yeah, that just seems like such over-exaggeration. Either the way that they ask the question, but the scope, there is no way a third of Americans are so stressed at the mere possibility that they're not going to events. Because I have spent my entire life going to these events, sporting events, concerts, and especially recently, sold out event after sold out event. So trying to convince me that a third of Americans are so panicked and so nervous about mass shootings that they're not even going anymore, I just don't buy it. And I don't understand. Like, you would see that if 35%, 33% of Americans were panicking, you would see that. The economy would feel that. And we're not.
So you think the study's made up?
Yeah, it feels flawed. It has to be flawed.
Let's get the American Psychological Association on the line, Andrew, should we, and see if they want to debate that.
Well, every stat, every number that we've ever seen, every survey.
Okay, so maybe I think sometimes we live in a bubble, and I'm not just looking at you when I say that, but we live in a bubble, and we don't all think alike, and we don't all have the same feelings, how boring this world would be if we did. So I think I appreciate your take and your emotions and the fact that you just feel like you always did and you weren't affected maybe by 9/11 in terms of changing your habits. I mean, I think we're all emotionally affected by it and we still live with it every day. But I have changed. I've said in the last segment we're talking about this, I've changed. I don't go to movies. I think a lot of that goes back to the Colorado movie theater shooting back several years ago. And I talked to my daughter about it a few days ago, and she said she didn't go to movies either. And she's like, I just don't like being in a movie theater. And they're not that crowded anymore. I think, you know, the last time I went, I can't even remember the last time I went. It seemed like I was the only one there. And for me, it's too expensive, and there's all kinds of other reasons not to go. But there's other things I think, Dave, I would hope that you have changed. And I hope other people's habits have changed. Maybe you still go to the events. But in reading some of our texts here on our Utah Community Credit Union text line, we've very clear message from one of our listeners who said, stop downplaying it. I think she's talking to you specifically. She's talking to you, Dave. Maybe don't downplay how people are afraid of shootings. I think of exits and protection strategies every time I go anywhere. And then she says, my 11-year-old is terrified of big events. I'm scared he'll be shot at school. I believe 33% of Americans are scared.
Well, I'm not saying that people aren't aware. I'm not saying that they're not afraid. But this was a third of Americans aren't going to events. Or they're consciously choosing, you know what, I'm not going to that because I'm afraid of mass shootings. So are people aware? No question. Have I had conversations with my children that my parents never would have even thought to have? Yeah, 100%. Have we talked about what happens in their school if there is a shooting? Yes, I've had that. They drill that. So, of course, that is a point of conversation. But this survey is saying that a third of Americans aren't going to events. And quite frankly, we would see that. It would be a massive, massive news story if a third of the Jazz seats were empty, if a third of Rice-Eccles Stadium was empty when there's a concert in town or a motocross or football game. But that's not happening. They're selling out at Rio Tinto. They're selling out at the at Rice-Eccles. They sold out every single game of the Utah Jazz season last year.
And what I don't want is for fear to win. I don't want fear to change my habits. But I think if I honestly look myself in the mirror and I say, have my habits changed since 9/11? Have they changed as a result of the mass shootings? I'd have to be honest with myself and say, yeah, my habits have changed. Okay, so maybe you don't believe the study, but I would just love to continue having a conversation about what we have changed. We have people texting us 57500 right now saying, look, I carry my concealed weapon permit. I carry my gun with me more often than ever before. Didn't carry their gun, probably would have been like I would be if I carried. I would probably not even know where my weapon was. Sometimes locked up in my home, forget about it, go out, not even bother. But these people are saying, no, I'm carrying now more frequently. Those habits have changed.
Yeah, I think there's no question that people are more aware.
Yeah.
I think there is a danger of over-exaggeration when you start saying that a third of Americans aren't even going to events now because they're so worried about mass shootings. I think that's – it almost borders on hysteria. And I'm not trying to downplay it, as this texter and Twitter follower have mentioned. I'm not trying to downplay it at all. I just think the facts are, you say we live in a bubble, but
I think we do in Utah. We've been very fortunate here.
I disagree. I think we've had the Trolley Square shooting. We had the Grand America incident. We had the individual that was driving down State Street with a rifle shooting out the side of his window at cops. I mean, this is not something...
Well, I don't want to compare, even go down the road of comparing what's where El Paso or Trolley. They're all horrible. But the fact is, Dave, I think we have changed habits. And you keep wanting to go and poke at the American, cycle. Okay, we've moved on from that. And my feeling is we've changed habits. What habits have you changed? I tell my kids, don't walk around with two earbuds in. I don't walk around with two earbuds in. You walk around with two earbuds in.
Yeah.
And you're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you wouldn't hear anything if it was going down.
I think I wish they were noise canceling. They are not.
Oh, they sure look fancy.
The thing is, part of this is a conscious decision on my part to not allow the terrorists to influence the way I live my life. So is there some defiance in what I'm saying? Yeah, definitely. I think there is definitely some defiance that I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to let you scare me. I'm not going to let you scare my family. That's not to say that I'm not aware. It's what I do for a job. I've lived around it the entire career. But the fact is, I'm not going to let it impact me. Will I take some precautions? No question. Of course. I'd be silly not to. Will I have conversations with my kids? Yes, 100%. But ultimately, you have to make a decision. And my decision is to show up.
Hey, we know that schools are battling the heat to keep kids cool. We're battling it to keep our homes cool. I've got 7 great tips to save money on your air conditioning bill as the heat hangs on.
Dave and Dujanovic. Are you asking for Dave and Debbie everywhere?
Just say, Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
And stream them on your phone. The KSL News Radio app.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.